الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد، كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما، وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان، وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, through the favor, the blessings and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find ourselves once again in the month of Sha'ban. And we find that if we look at the hadith and the dua which we are taught to recite when the month of Rajab sets in, then there are great lessons which we can derive and learn from this hadith and from this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. Allah, grant us blessings in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. So if we look at this dua, we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an eagerness. There was an anticipation for the blessed month of Ramadan already a full 2 months ahead. In the month of Rajab already, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was eagerly awaiting the month of Ramadan. And he was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessings, for barakah in these 2 months. Now normally when we speak about barakah, then we seem to confine barakah to our business, barakah in our food, and barakah in our material belongings. But if we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are all aware that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a life of simplicity. In fact, it is very difficult for us to live the life that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us the Sharia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is home. Sometimes an entire month would pass and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have the fire in the house lit. So we are not required to emulate this. So what is referred to when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking for blessings here is ruhani and spiritual blessings. Now we know very well that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we heard in the program in Laylatul Mi'raj, wherein the ulama discussed that night in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such proximity, such closeness he attained before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no other creation will ever attain. And clearly showing the great ruhaniyat and the spirituality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for barakah in terms of spirituality, really in effect it's a lesson for us that we should be making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us spirituality so that we can be prepared to receive this honored guest this month of Ramadan. An example which comes to mind is that if a guest of honor is coming, let's take an example that if the Imam of the Haram had to be coming for this Jummah, to be giving the Jummah khutbah instead of me, if the Imam of Haram was coming, then we know that once we receive the news that the Imam of the Haram is coming to our masjid or coming to our locality, then the trustees and the various volunteers of the area will make proper preparations because the guest is of such a caliber. He has got honor in our eyes. We really appreciate his nobility and the izzah and the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So preparations will be made for this guest to arrive. And we'll make this preparation in advance. A person will not prepare for the guest. If the Imam of the Haram is coming for Jummah, then it will be foolish for us to prepare 2 minutes before he arrives. In fact, we might prepare a week in advance, if not a month in advance, for this guest to arrive. In the same way, this month of Ramadan is an honored guest. It is a month wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, His forgiveness, the doors of which are wide open. So when this honored guest is coming, it is only wise of us to prepare for this honored guest in advance. And preparation must commence already from the month of Rajab and the month of Sha'ban. Those of us who have got businesses, we should now start preparing ourselves, rescheduling ourselves, so that we can free time for this month of Ramadan. And this will already commence from now. Let us start tying up our businesses and preparing ourselves for this month of Ramadan. And ulama-i-kiram have given different examples of this month of Ramadan and this month of Sha'ban and the month of Rajab. And they've gone through different academic discussions. And some ulama-i-kiram are of the opinion that the month of Sha'ban and the month of Shawwal, if a person commits, or rather if a person performs good deeds in these months, then it will hold more virtue than performing good deeds in months other than these 2 months. And the reason these ulama give is that the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessings are so intense that the months which are close to it will not be deprived of this mercy and this blessings. We can understand it by means of an example that if a waterfall is gushing forth, then those people who are close to the waterfall will also become drenched in that water. So in the same way, the month of Sha'ban and the month of Shawwal, some ulama-i-kiram of the opinion that a person will receive more rewards if he performs good deeds in these months. And they give the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Sha'ban. He would exert himself in fasting in this month. So we find the example that they give. They say that the month of Rajab is like the example of the wind which brings the rain clouds. And the month of Sha'ban are like the rain clouds itself. And the month of Ramadan is like the rain which falls from those clouds. So a person will appreciate the wind and he will appreciate the clouds, and obviously the rain will be most appreciated. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, the ayat-e-kareema, or rather the hadith which I quoted, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there are two bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And we will see from this hadith how we can relate it to the month which we are finding ourselves in. Amongst the many ni'mats which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and bestowed upon us, there are two bounties regarding which many people have been deluded. Many people have fallen into deception. And these two bounties are good health, as-sihhatu wal-faragh, and free time. Now ulama-i-kiram have explained the ahadith of Rasulullah sallam, muhaddithin, Allah ta'ala reward them. Really, when they analyze the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they make us appreciate the depth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam really was an entire ocean. So here, the word Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, he says maghbunun. So ulama-i-kiram explain that maghbunun is regarding that person that he starts a business. And in his business, he invests capital. But what happens is, he expects that when he invests his capital, he will now receive profits based on that capital which he has invested. But instead, what happens? His entire capital is lost. Now, when a person has lost his entire capital, can he expect any profits and any wealth coming in that business? In fact, the entire business has now collapsed. So in the same way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that we have got this great capital of good health and there is great capital of free time. Now, what we should be doing is we should be investing this capital of good health and hoping to earn profits and rewards based on this capital of free time and this capital of good health. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, اِخْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ. He mentions that take advantage or appreciate 5 things before 5. Among those 5 things he mentions is good health before sickness, and free time before you become preoccupied. So respected elders and brothers, this time which we have at hand is so valuable, respected elders and brothers. Normally they say in English, time is money. But actually by saying time is money, they have actually belittled. They have actually undervalued time. Because what they are saying is that time is as valuable as money. Now we all know money is something which comes and goes. Really, time is even more valuable than money. That is why those people who have this concept that time is money, you will find that once they've earned their money, then they will relax and waste their time. They will waste their time in items of futility. Because they regard time to be as valuable as money. So once they've achieved their money, then time is of no real value because they've got the money. But in reality, time is life. Time is as valuable as life. And if you look at our ulama-i-kiram and the muhaddithin, it is mentioned in the kitabs, there was one great scholar. He did a survey amongst the muhaddithin and amongst the fuqaha. And he went to them and he posed the question to them. He said that if Jibreel al-Islam is to come to you and tell you that today or tomorrow is your last day, you're going to be leaving this world tomorrow, then tell me, what would you do to prepare yourself for the last day? Various scholars, muhaddithin, gave various answers. But amongst them, one muhaddith gave a beautiful answer, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah. He gave the answer. He says, there is nothing I can do to change my schedule. Because I actually, every day, I regard every day to be my last day. So there is nothing more that I can do. Because every single day, I take it to be my last day. So respected elders and brothers, this is really the value they had for time. And if you look at how they used their time, every second and every moment of their time. Amongst the scholars, some of them have, in their short span of life, they've written over 1,000 kitabs. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, the ulama-i-kiram have praised him and have mentioned that in his short span of life, he's written over 1,200 kitabs. Yet he had other preoccupations, he had other work to do. But because they valued every second of their time, and they used their time to earn their akhirah, because respected elders and brothers, we find that we will all live in this world temporarily. But we will reside in Akhirah eternally. Therefore, it is only sensible for us to work for that which is eternal in respect and in accordance to the length that we will be living there. And we will be living in this dunya temporarily. Therefore, we should be working for this dunya to that extent. So respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore also takes a qasam on time. Wal asri. By the token of time, innal insana lafi khusr. Man is at a loss. Again, the explanation that was given, that time comes to him, but instead of using that capital of time to invest in his akhirah, what happens is, that time is wasted away. It will never come back again. Unlike money, a person loses it today, he can go back and open his business, and he can earn that money again. But once time is gone, it can never be brought back. That's why the value of time is far more than the value of money. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Yes, there will be some people who will not lose out. Who will these people be? Those people who use their time. They bring iman and they do good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. They advise one another towards haqq, towards iman, towards truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they advise one another towards sabr. And again, sabr here, let us not confine the meaning of sabr merely to patience with regards to calamities which come upon one. But sabr is also where a person restrains himself from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabr is also where a person, you know, he exerts himself in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a hadith comes to mind wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. An intelligent person is that person who restrains his nafs wa amila lima ba'da al-maut, and he does good deeds for the life after death. Wal ajiz man atba'a nafsahu hawa wa tamanna 'ala Allah. And a weak person or a foolish person is that person who allows his evil desire, he allows his ego, he allows his nafs to follow its base and evil desires, and then he hopes on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we have to learn to restrain ourselves, and we have to value this time. So we find ourselves now in the month of Sha'ban. It is time on our hand. It is month is from time. It is on our hand. So therefore, let us use this month of Sha'ban and prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan. Let us use this month of Sha'ban and send it towards Akhirah. We find that, inshallah, bayans will be given. But on that 15th night of Sha'ban, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives countless people. But there are certain people who will be deprived on this night. Therefore now, from now, let us ensure that we do not fall in that category of people. There are many people who have been mentioned, but those that come to mind is a person, for example, who is ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who has committed zina. A person who has committed murder. A person who harbors malice, animosity, hatred for another Muslim, which has now become so common amongst us, that we harbor ill feelings for another person. That famous hadith wherein Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to Sahaba Ikram that soon a person will pass by and he is from the people of Jannah. For 3 days Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this, and 3 days the same Sahabi passed by. One Sahabi from amongst them, he invited that Sahabi over to his house as a guest. Or rather, he stayed at his house and just to witness what amal he was doing, by means of which he got this great glad tiding. And he found there was no real amal that he was doing different from what all the odd Sahaba Ikram were doing. He would perform all his necessary duties. He would wake up for tahajjud salah, perform his tahajjud like all Sahaba Ikram. There was nothing extra that he was doing. So there, he asked him, what is it that you are doing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given you this glad tiding? He said, well, you have seen whatever I do, that is what I do. Except there is one thing, that every night before I sleep, I forgive any person. I clean my heart from any person who I may have been harboring any ill feelings. I clean my heart completely. I do not harbor any ill feelings, any hatred, any malice. I'm giving you an explanation in my heart for any person. The Sahabi said, this is the reason for which you have received this and achieved this position. So therefore, this night, if we are harboring ill feelings, we are harboring malice, hatred for any person, let us purify our hearts. With regards to huququl ibad, the rights of our fellow brothers, let us ensure that we fulfill those rights. And amongst those rights, one which has become so common, and all of us are involved in, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to come out of this, it is this evil quality of ghiba. It is backbiting. We tend to enjoy it when we're having our braais. I don't know, somehow we have to have this. We only get enjoyment in the braai when we start discussing and talking bad about another person. So it is something which we have to learn to remove from our lives. And what is ghibah? To speak something about our Muslim brother, that if he comes to know, if he was present there, if we had to mention that evil quality about him when he was present, it would upset him. He would become upset. Then that is what is ghibah. Sahaba Ikram then asked the question, but Ya Rasulullah, what if that evil is found in him? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is exactly what is ghibah. And if it is not found in him, then this is buhtan, this is slandering him. Now we look at ghibah, it is such a serious thing. A person is, what he's actually doing when he's making ghibah of his fellow Muslim brother, he's actually transferring his good deeds into that person's account, and he is allowing that person to transfer his evil deeds into his account. It is a foolish thing. Ulama-i kiram have mentioned that all sins, when a person commits, he gets some type of enjoyment, or this he receives some type of benefit from it. For example, if a person steals something, we're not justifying stealing, but at the end of the day, the person gets some goods, something in his hand. But ghibah is such a sin that a person gets nothing from it. In fact, what he does is, he earns the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he transfers his good deeds to that person, and he allows that person to transfer his evil into his account. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this sickness. If a person has made ghiba and the person has come to know that we have made ghiba about him, then it is only fair that we go to that person and say, look, you have heard that I have spoken this bad thing about you, so I am asking you to please forgive me. If the person has not come to know about it, then let us make dua for him. Let us give out some charity on behalf of that person. Send some durood or some, read some Quran Sharif for him and send it to him. So that on the day of Qiyamah, he doesn't come and take our good deeds and transfer his evil into our account. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif that it is like the example of eating the flesh of our dead brother. So this has become so common, respected elders and brothers, and we do not even realize it. So we need to prepare ourselves for this month of Sha'ban to receive the rewards and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And time, respected elders and brothers, is so valuable. It's so valuable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to value every second of our time. In the ayat kareema, just going through it quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again gives the example of this dunya and the different phases and stages of this dunya which people pass through. That dunya, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. Know very well that this dunya, the example of this dunya is like amusement and play. Wazina and beautification. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ, and boasting with one another. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, rivalry in terms of wealth and in terms of children. But then Allah Ta'ala gives the example that what is the reality of this dunya? كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. It is like the example of rain that falls. The farmers become very, very excited. They become joyous when they see the rain falling because their crops will now grow. But after the crops start growing, فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Thereafter you see the crops drying up and it becomes yellow. And thereafter the wind blows it in bits and pieces. That is the example of this life. That is the example of our life in this world. A person passes through the different phases and stages, but then he reaches old age. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. There's either one of two things in akhirah. Either a person gets the forgiveness and the mercy and the happiness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he gets severe punishment. Respected elders and brothers, each one of us have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the next person who will intercede on our behalf. We will have to account for our own deeds. Let us make muhasaba. Let us take stock on our daily activities. Every night before a person goes to sleep, for a few minutes he should think that today, the entire day, how many activities or how many actions did I do were based or were a zakhira, a treasure for my akhirat, and how many of my activities were merely confined to this world. It is not difficult. A person, even if he is laughing, he is joyous, he is talking happily to his family with the correct intention, then this too will be a means of reward for him in akhirah. But on the other hand, if a person merely sits and he starts talking about different soccer players, or he sits in front of the TV watching, then this definitely will not fall under the category of an activity which will earn him rewards in akhirah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us the ability to really value the month of Sha'ban and to prepare ourselves, condition ourselves for this Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the calamities, the difficulties of the Muslims throughout the world, especially in Palestine and in Gaza. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he assists all those people who are making an effort to assist the Muslims throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.